tired, I'm worn. My heart is heavy from the work it takes to keep on breathing. I've made mistakes. I've let my hope fail. My soul feels crushed by the weight of this world.
Help guide them by your light. Make time for those who love you and be kind to those you love. Be a light in the darkness with help from God above. There's a spark to every fire and a light to every glow. Spread seeds of faith around you and watch your harvest grow. You gotta bloom when you are planted and give light to something new. Be a light in the darkness in everything you do. Be a light in the darkness, bring a smile to someone's face. Give hope when hope is needed, just show them love and grace. Give comfort and compassion, and let your true light shine. Be a light in the darkness, and leave your cares behind. There's a spark to every fire, and a light to every glow. Spread seeds of faith around you, and watch your harvest grow. You gotta bloom when you are planted, and give light to something new. Be a light in the darkness, in everything you do. Keep shining through the darkness, and reap what you have sown. Just share the love like Jesus, and make your purpose known. There's a spark to every fire and a light to every glow. Spread seeds of faith around you and watch your harvest grow. You gotta bloom when you are planted and give light to something new. Be a light in the darkness in everything you do.
Welcome, Hope Show listeners. I'm happy all of you have decided to tune in today. I trust that your week has been well. It's been a busy one for me, but it's been productive, and God has blessed me in so many ways. Today's message is Light in the Darkness. But before we get started, I'd like for all of us to bow our head in an opening prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this great day that has already begun. We thank you for bringing all of us together today to worship you, praise you, fellowship with you, and one another. We thank you for your word, which is the light of the world. In you, we find our hope. You have given each of us a high calling to be a light in this dark world, to help bring people to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Thank you for this great honor to be of service to you. Bless this message and fill our hearts with conviction and insight so that we may better understand what it truly means to be a light in the darkness for you. Please anoint this message so that only the words you would have me to say would escape my lips and nothing of my own understanding. In Jesus' name we pray, and all of God's people said, Amen. Thank you for joining me in that opening prayer, so let's get started. Our key verse of the day is found in Matthew 5, 13 through 16, and it says, You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on the lampstand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. First, let's take a look at verse 13 and what it says and what it means. What does it mean that believers are to be salt and light? Salt is a preservative found in food or used like for canning purposes and things to preserve the food so that it won't spoil. And so believers are to be preservatives to the world, preserving it from the evil of the world. Salt is also used as a flavor enhancer in food. Believers are meant to stand out as those that enhance the flavor of life in this world. Believers who live under the guidance of the Holy Spirit and live in obedience to Christ Jesus will influence the world for the good, as salt has positive influences on the flavor of the food it seasons and that we eat. Where there is strife, we are called to be peacemakers. Where there is sorrow, we are called to be ministers of Christ, binding up those wounds. Where there is hatred, we are to show the love of God, returning good for evil. This verse means that we are to be a light to the world. The good works that we do as Christ followers are to shine brightly for all of us to see. It is meant to be a beacon to bring people home in Jesus Christ. Matthew 5:13, this verse highlights this truth, that you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a bowl. The lamp is to be placed on the lampstand, therefore giving light to everyone in the house. So what this means is this: let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify God in heaven. In Matthew 5:14-16, the idea in these verses is quite similar to the verse in 13 that we just talked about. The presence of light in darkness is something that's very unmistakable. Therefore, the presence of believers in the world must be like the light in the darkness, not only in the sense that the truth of God's word brings light to the lost souls, but also in the sense that our good deeds must be evident for all to see. You may not believe this, but as I have mentioned in other messages, people are watching us all day long, every day. The example you set before the eyes of many are going to be either a good and positive experience or a bad, negative experience. The light that you choose to shine around you can either bring someone to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, or it can turn them away from Jesus Christ. We have to be purposeful in the things that we say and we do. We do not want to be seen as a hypocrite to those who are watching. If this happens, we have blown our opportunity to be a good witness to a lost soul. Like a moth drawn to the light, lost souls can be drawn to the light. But we must be mindful of our actions and what we say, because if we do or say something that is not of God, it can hinder us from fulfilling our role as the salt and the light in this world. Our actions and our words can become a stumbling block for others, and God warns us about this in 1 Corinthians 8:12. Whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him there is no cause for stumbling. Friends, we are to be the light of God to this dark world. We are to be the salt. We are to be the preservation, you know, from, we are to be what flavors this world, God's flavor, you know, as salt flavors the food, we are also to be that good flavor of God to everyone around us. How do I, you know, you might be thinking, how do I do all this? We are to lead morally, to point the way to God, to warn the unbelievers of the dangers that lie ahead, to serve, to give, and to sacrifice, to show others the way and the truth, the love of God. If we do this, we can change the world with one small kindness at a time. Folks, did you hear that? If we do this, we can change the world one small kindness at a time. In John 9:5, the Bible says that Jesus says, "As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Jesus couldn't stay here on earth, and so we have now been appointed to be the light of the world. The Bible talks about light and darkness, and there is a very distinct contrast between the two. Light is often used to show the difference between knowledge and ignorance. Light stands for the world's opportunity to know the truth about Jesus. The world is in the dark, so to speak. It's in the dark about God. But as believers, we can turn the light on for those who are living in darkness. Let them know that there is a better way. Light allows people to see. We can't see without light. Believers show the world how much God loves them and explains to those who live in darkness what Jesus done to restore our relationship with him after such awful sin came and tore us all away. Light shows the way. Without light, we would be lost and confused, and we wouldn't be able to find our way around. God takes believers, and he qualifies them with his character, and puts us all on display. Remember what I said earlier. We are all being watched every day. It doesn't matter whether you're a believer or a non-believer. People are constantly watching us. Seeing what we are all about, what we stand for, watching and waiting it to see if we're going to mess up or how we will respond to certain things that come up in our life. It's so very important that we set a good and positive example so that we will not cause our brothers and sisters to stumble and fall away from Jesus Christ. Christians are called to take the moral lead, the high road, the narrow path. Christians must set the example. Suppose for a moment that there is a group of friends and some of them decide that it would be a good idea to go do something wrong. I'm sure we've all been in a position like that before where we've been in a group of friends and suddenly someone suggests, "Hey, let's go do this." And you're thinking to yourself, "Whoa, wait a minute. That's not right." Well, if someone doesn't speak up and protest against that bad idea, then the wrong action will be acted upon. If someone rises up and says, "I am not going to do that. It's wrong. I will not be a part of this," then perhaps others will follow and decide against doing the bad thing. It is a believer's duty to take a serious, unswerving stand for what we all believe in. It's not easy. We will oftentimes be persecuted for our beliefs. It's not the popular road. but it's the right road. It's the righteous road. It is not enough to merely shine in our own little circle or community. We are called to light up and be of good influence in every place of darkness, so that darkness is brought to light, or it is exposed for what it truly is. We are called to not be complainers or strife makers, but to be peacemakers, blameless and pure, children of God, without fault, in this insanely crooked and depraved world that we live in right now. We are to shine like stars as a homing beacon for all the lost souls. Do you know that that's what the lighthouse is for? It is a homing beacon for ships that cannot see, that they're in a fog or whatever, and they don't know how to get back to shore. The lighthouses have a light in the very, very top, and it's a beacon. It's a beacon of hope. It sends that light out so that the ships can see the light in the lighthouse, and they will know to go toward that direction, to safety, to shore. We are to shine like that homing beacon for all the lost souls of the world. Our light, the light of God, is the only hope in this world that we have. Our world is growing darker by the minute with ignorance, defiance, rebellion, violence, greed, anger, dishonesty, addictions, immorality, and murder, just to name a few. These things have become commonplace. Friends, we have strayed so far away from what God originally built, what He breathed into existence. But the solution can be found, and only found, in the Bible. God, and through His Word, starting at the very beginning in Genesis. At the very beginning of Genesis, God said, "Let there be light." See here, where God's response to the darkness was to simply turn on the light. Light discloses. When light is turned on, it immediately makes itself known. It reveals things that you cannot see in the darkness. Light reveals things even about ourselves. Has God revealed anything to you lately about yourself? Something that you did not know before? How has it impacted your life? How did God help you to change your life? I can't speak for any of you out there in the listening audience, but God has revealed much to me about my past, about myself, in just these past few years. It seems I have grown exponentially by the grace of God. Don't you love God's discipline? That may sound strange, but just as an earthly parent, when they discipline you, it's because they love you and they want the very best for you. And so I personally have grown to enjoy the discipline. It prunes me of the dead fruits in my life so that I can be more productive and fruitful in a good way for our Heavenly Father. Less of me, more of you, God. Less of me, more of you. I love the voice of my Father in heaven. It's comforting, calming, loving. It's my rock. It's my shelter. My Father never leaves me, no matter what season I'm going through in my life. And He's always there for all of you as well. Good and bad times, valleys and mountains, God is always with us. He shines His light on us. And we in turn are strengthened and shine our light in the darkness of the world. If we are truly to make a difference in this world, we have to stop attacking it with more darkness and turn on the light. Friends, I'm going to leave you to think about that for a moment while I go to a short break after these few songs. And I just hope that you'll all stay tuned in for the second half. Be right back.
Thank you.
Welcome back, Hope Show listeners. If you are just tuning in, you've missed out on the first part of God's wonderful message for today. I would encourage you to go back later after the show this afternoon and listen to the podcast of today's message from beginning to end. Today's message is about light in the darkness. It's been about how we can be a light in the darkness of this world. what being a light in the darkness means. Before the break, we were talking about how Jesus came down from heaven to teach us how to be the light to the world. He couldn't stay on earth permanently. His birth and his death were for a very specific purpose. It was to teach us about God, to be that example of righteousness, pure and holy, without blame, flawless. He came to wash our sins white as snow so that we could be reunited with our Father in heaven for all eternity. We were talking about how Jesus was and is the light of the world, but we have also been appointed to be a light in the darkness. We cannot take that role lightly, folks. It has to be taken serious. Look around. Look at what's happening to this world right now. Anyone who has stumbled around in the dark, trying to reach their kitchen for a drink, or trying to reach the bathroom in their house at night, knows how confusing and dangerous that can be. And my husband would probably add to that, especially when your wife likes to change the furniture around a lot. Which, back in the day, I used to do a lot. I know you guys can all relate to that. Although I must say, as I have gotten a little older, moving furniture around as often as I used to isn't as appealing to me anymore. And so, therefore, Shaziz's toes and shins are much safer these days. But anyway, God uses light to guide our path. In Exodus 13:21, the Bible says, "The Lord went ahead of them. He guided them during the day with a pillar of cloud, and he provided light at night with a pillar of fire. This allowed them to travel by day and night." How does God direct us? In this verse that I just read, it says that he directs us by going ahead of us. Then by teaching us what is good for us and leading us by example and on the path that we should follow. In Isaiah 48:17, "Thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord your God who teaches you to profit, who leads you in the way you should go." By speaking directly in our ears also, in Isaiah 30:21, "All your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. When you turn to the right or when you turn to the left." And God also directs us by his word, and said in Psalm 119:105, "The word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." If you plan to walk in God's light, what must we have to do in order to do so? We must first have deliverance from the darkness. We must first have salvation, be reborn again. In Psalms 56:13, the Bible says, "For you have delivered my soul from death, yes, my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of life." You must also be determined to walk in his light. In John 10:1-4, the Bible tells us, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own. He goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice." God also directs us to fellowship with one another. In 1 John 1:7, it says, "But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." Friends, as I mentioned earlier, like moth is drawn to a flame, people are attracted to light. Jesus Christ is the light that attracts others. When we become saved, born again, we then carry that same light within each of us. Jesus said that if we follow him, we will not have to walk in darkness ever again, because we will have the same light in us as Jesus, and that will lead our life. This is found in John 8:12. We can be a light in the darkness to others also by being a God magnet. And basically what that means is, it's basically the message that we've been talking about today. Be the example to others as Jesus is our example. Be irresistible. Let your light shine so bright that others want what you have. We can also be a light in the darkness by lifting Jesus up in our lives on a daily basis. We have all known people who are in pain. Pain can be caused by a number of things. Life can be a real pain. Am I right? Many things can cause us turmoil. When this happens, we can feel paralyzed with feelings of helplessness. We lose people we love. We witness people we care about getting sick. We are faced with disappointments, death, financial devastation, addictions, and so many other tragedies in life. The pain of the world is real, my friends. Lost souls are very real. The darkness and the evil in this world is very real. Satan is at the helm of much of this. Often we live our lives experiencing things that we wish we had never had to witness or endure. But despite all of this, it is real and life happens. And life goes on, whether it is your life or the life of a fellow brother or sister. And we can't all navigate this world alone. We are not meant to navigate this world alone. We need one another. We need one another to cast our burdens upon. We need each other's light. It makes a tremendous difference in one another's life. And here are some of the ways that we can help bring light into someone's world. It doesn't have to be someone that you know very well, that's close to us. It could be a complete stranger. We are our brothers and sisters' keepers, my friends. So, I just want to share with you a few things that we can do. And the first thing that we can start doing is listening. Actively listen. And create time to sit with someone and let them talk. Don't check your phone or get on Facebook or let your mind wander to what you were planning to do with your day, but now you can't. Prompt someone to tell you more about their situation. And we can give hugs. Some of you may not be huggy people. I'm a very huggy person. I love giving and receiving hugs. Human contact is one of the most basic and essential needs that we humans have. It can go a long ways to healing many different things. Hugging reminds us that we are not alone, that someone cares about us. Perhaps if you are the writing sort of person, then you could write a handwritten letter or you could send a card to someone. You could minister to people in those ways. Just to let them know that you're thinking about them. Receiving mail like this can be so uplifting and encouraging. It can really boost your spirits. Hold on, folks. I'm going to take a quick drink of water. Sorry about that. I had a cold a while back, and I have this little tickle in my throat that just won't seem to go away. So laugh together. Laughter is good medicine. Next time you see or hear something funny, send it to your friends or call them up and share it so that the both of you can benefit from a good laugh. Life can be heavy sometimes, but that doesn't mean that we have to sacrifice our true joy, the joy that God gifted us with. And perhaps you're an amazing cook. Who doesn't like a free meal that we don't have to cook for ourselves? Ask a friend over and sit down for a meal. Just enjoy some fellowship and hanging out. It's nice to sit down with someone else and share company. And as the weather becomes nicer and warmer, ask someone to go for a walk with you. Moving your body is not only good for your overall health, but it can also help us to clear our mind by getting ourselves moving and getting our mind off of certain things. Have you ever considered having a movie night with someone? Maybe indulge yourself in a guilt-free night, pop up some popcorn, and, you know, maybe drink a soda or something. You can stay in or you can go out with someone. But I encourage you to watch an inspiring movie and see how it uplifts your soul and makes you feel so much stronger. Gardening is a great way to clear your head, too. I love to garden. I do some of my best thinking and spend some of the best quality time in God's presence when I am outdoors. Whether it's going for a walk, gardening, or just sitting on my patio with a cup of coffee or a glass of water. Count your many blessings as you work the soil. God gave us all this beauty in the world. Show Him some gratitude and thank Him for all He has given us. And how about this one, my friends? For all you barefoot lovers, walk barefoot. Take off your shoes and socks and plunge your foot or your feet into the soft green grass. Now that is one of my favorites. And that goes back a long ways for me, because as a child, I loved to be barefoot. It is an amazing feeling, and it brings back, like I said, so many childhood memories of running across the yard to pick mulberries, or running across the gravel down to Dad's shop to see what he was doing. I wouldn't do that now, because, you know, my feet are not as calloused as they once were. They're pretty tender nowadays. But, you know, back in the day when I was a child, I was always barefoot. My parents couldn't hardly keep my shoes on. Have you ever stood in the sand at the beach or stood in a big mud puddle with no shoes on? If not, oh, my friends, you are missing out. On the next really rainy day, just go out and stand in the mud puddle and let all that mud squish up between your toes and play like a child, unabandoned. There is a quote from a person who I can't pronounce the name, but it goes like this. Forget not that the earth delights to feel your bare feet, and the winds long to play with your hair. Oh, just thinking about that puts my soul at peace. Brings joy to my heart. When someone is feeling down, don't just sympathize, but empathize with them. Feel what they are feeling. Shed some tears with them. It's okay to shed some tears, no matter what you've been taught in this life. It is okay to shed tears. Maybe you've been told, especially the men out there in the listening audience, maybe you've been told by someone in your family to suck it up and never let anyone see you cry. Only babies cry. That is so not true. God created tears in all of us, and they are meant to be shed on occasion. Tears of joy, tears of sadness, tears of sorrow. God created tears in all of us, and they are meant to be shed on occasion. Did you know that tears reduce stress from your body so that emotions don't get lodged all up in your brain? Don't keep all that negativity inside of you. It's not good for you. If crying isn't your thing, go scream in a pillow. That's pretty effective too. Or find an isolated place outdoors where no one can see you or hear you and just scream it out. I have one of those favorite places too. As corny as it may sound, it's close to home. It's peaceful. People don't talk to me because it's a cemetery. But you know, as crazy as that sounds, And it's probably not for everyone. Like I said, it's close to my home. And, you know, it just feels so good to sit up there on the hill under that big tree and look out over all that's down below me. Lay out a blanket, stay a while, read a book, read the Bible, talk to God, scream it out, laugh it out, cry it out. It's such a wonderful, amazing feeling to go to that place under the tree, especially when there's a really nice breeze and you have shade and breeze and, oh, it's so peaceful, folks. It's just so peaceful. But, friends, you know, whatever your thing is, the best advice that I can give you is just to be there for one another. God loves you. Some days, we will be the ones needing comfort, and some days, we will be the ones giving comfort and God's love to someone who's going through a really tough patch in their life. Friends, this closes out the hour, and so this is all for today. But let us bow our heads in a closing prayer right now. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for today's message. Please make us instruments of peace. Where there is hatred, let us sow love. Where there is injury, bring healing. Where there is discord, bring union. Where there is doubt of faith and despair and lack of hope, darkness. Let there be light. Where there is sadness, bring joy. Use us and make us instruments of peace. Thank you in advance for these answered prayers. In Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, Amen. Thank you for joining. May all of you go out there and be a light in this darkness, in this world. Shine your light on somebody this week. And not just one person, but as many people as you possibly can. Be there for someone, whether it's someone you know and you love, or even a complete stranger. If you see the need, be there. Don't miss the opportunity. And may God's favor be upon each and every one of you, and God's hedge of protection around each of you and your families in this upcoming week. Thank you for joining in today.